Hey Rob, hey LaRosa, how you guys doing?
Fuck
Good,
guys,
and
I'm good.
yourself? Yeah, pretty good. Right. What questions do we have today?
I didn't put anything in the community.
No questions got asked in the community.
Okay.
Do you have anything,
Huh?
Rob? Or LaRosa?
Yeah, I had a few kind of my random collection type ones that are, things. Oh yeah, I meant to sort that out. You may not have an answer here, Doug, but one of the things I want to do, I mean, you know my site pretty well, but one of the things I want to do is when I've got Shurcart up and running 100% on the site, I want to have a new version of my store. At the moment, it's built in Thrive Architect and just links out to external checkouts with Thrivecart. What I want to do is obviously, I'm going over to Shurcart, and I want to try and keep that all in-house. Obviously, that's the whole point of Shurcart working within the site. And I just wondered if you'd had any experience of either yourself working for clients, or if you know of any examples that Adam might have shared, or you may have seen elsewhere online, of actually just kind of good uses or good examples of people building, effectively stores or front shop fronts, whatever you want to call them, using Shurcart. And maybe it's a bit too much to say and Thrive Architect, I don't know, but it's Thrive Architect as the builder here. It doesn't have to be, but it's really about good looking stores that are built using Shurcart. Because when it was launched, that was something I was chatting to Adam about publicly. And he was saying, yeah, admittedly, it's quite limited at the moment in what you can do. But then gradually they started to improve, some of the functionality, some of the display options, make it look a bit more sexy, frankly. And I wondered, I haven't really looked into it for months, and I just wondered kind of what stage that was at, and whether you think I could, just simply use my existing sort of store, which is kind of functional, it's not that sexy. Or are there some functions now within how they display the products, etc., in Shurcart that means I can give that a kind of a bit of a refresh when I fully make the switch in the imminent future?
Yeah, so quickly, if you're using Thrive Theme Builder, none of the Shurcart like e-commerce sphere systems will work. They're just not compatible with Thrive Theme Builder. So you have to make your own, which is fine because the add to cart features in Shurcart give you the ability to just have a nice button that says add to cart or purchase. So you can go either route that you want to go. And in terms of what a store looks like, so here's the thing. If you're using Shurcart's kind of out of the box e-commerce setup, it's only semi-customizable. So I actually have a video that I really need to finish editing. I might do that today and get it out next week that shows the difference between like all the different forms and of Shurcart. And in that video, I show the in-theme checkout template pages. And although you can do some tweaks to them, like change the color of a button, make things stack or go vertical or horizontal, there's not much customization. So to your question, have I seen anyone do anything kind of cool or nice or neat looking or good looking? Nothing that stands out because they would all look nearly identical. However, because you have to use your own setup, Thrive Architect, you can make it look like whatever you want. So in your case, I would say sky's the limit. Find any website you like the look of an e-commerce setup of, and then you can just build it. Like, I was looking at one the other
Build it as in
day.
using Thrive Architect, and then the buttons just bring in, when someone clicks on the button, and be the only stage that Shurcart's brought into the equation.
Yeah, essentially build whatever you want, and then the button just says add to cart, and they click on it, and it adds to the little cart icon in the bottom right or in the header. Because I have a video on YouTube where I show how to add the cart to the header. So you could have both the widget and the header. And then when they click on that, they just proceed to the cart page and they check out using your site's default checkout form template. We looked at that on a previous call. You can spice that up to look like whatever you want. So really, it's just about creating two things, a storefront where they can see all your products and they can browse them. And then a individual page for each product. So let me show you a quick example. I literally was just looking at this before I hopped on the call today, totally unrelated to like literally anything. It's a completely different topic altogether. I
I love it when it's
linked.
completely outside of my space because it's always really interesting for me to see
Yeah.
how people in other industries are doing stuff.
The YouTube algorithm sent me down a rabbit hole this morning, and then I like clicked in and I checked out this website. So it's just like a website all about like becoming a drone pilot and getting your drone license and stuff like that. But they do a lot of courses. And so their shop page, like if you go to drone courses,
This is interesting.
was just using like a nice little filter, like if you wanted to
Oh, I like
filter.
the look of these. These are really nice.
Yeah, this is just an image. So
Yeah,
like
no, it's just like the layout's really
you
nice.
could, I totally agree. I'm gonna steal it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do
yeah.
this layout on
That's
myself.
what I was meaning when I was saying it looks really nice.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I do. So this is just like I like the use of their shadow. I like the use of these images, and then they just lay this out. This would be super easy to do in something like Thrive Architect or Astra or Spectra, and then nothing special here. You can just click View Course to go into a particular courses page, and they just have the points about it, an image, why choose this product, the
Oh, I
features. I
like
mean, this is
this.
overkill for what I would do. I'd go much less than this, but they're really answering a lot of questions. But bottom line, you could do a more traditional looking page. And then as soon as you click enroll in the course, they are not doing an add to cart. So where you would maybe be different is this would be add to cart. Theirs takes you to a checkout page. So this would be a more traditional route if you were doing like buy a course.
And do you know what's powering this, Doug, by the way, on the back
This
end?
is teachable right here, but
Oh, is it?
you can literally, well, this is just a WordPress website.
Yeah.
But this checkout, they use Teachable up here. You can see
Oh, so I
Teachable.
see. Yeah. Okay.
And but the thing is, you can make this exact checkout in SureCart. Like this looks nearly identical to yours, except just the different colors. And then like this is I don't know, I don't think this is Stripe because I think Teachable has their own payment processing, but you can do something so similar with SureCart. But I just thought that was a nice example of a way. And then interestingly, using that plugin that I talked about last week, that grid builder, you could do something just like this filter where you could say, okay, I just want to see the courses that are drone courses that have to do with commercial flying, and then just like instantaneously would change them out.
Yeah, I do definitely want a filter like that. I mean, not that I've got, overwhelming amount of products at the moment, but I do already kind of structure them into like ebooks, services and other kind of layers. And I've just got them indexed at the top. But I like that idea of people just toggling that on and seeing exactly what they're interested in.
Yeah, so this is one idea, and this is totally buildable and totally something that you could use.
Yeah, now this is a really good example. Doug, could you click through to one of the sales pages again? Maybe it might be a purchase one,
Sure,
actually.
let's go to like a drone business made easy.
So when on the click, so on when you got the button there to enroll on this course, and you said this would be add to cart, can I have that as add to cart, like one button, and then or buy now as another one, and then it
Yeah.
would either go into the cart or it would go straight to the custom form checkout for that
Yes.
product.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's a great example. Yeah, really good.
So I figured, so just kind of back to the point you were asking, you can make anything you want, and that's kind of the nice part about SureCart. It's that it gives you the option to choose. You could use their out of the box stuff. That's kind of They have the completely opinionated instant checkout form. They have the semi-customizable, not really compatible with much, template checkout pages and forms and stuff. And then they have the custom forms that you can drop anywhere, and the add to cart buttons and buy now buttons that you can literally put anywhere and do anything with. So I feel
And
like.
where are we at now with, I don't know if there's been any progress on WYSIWYG editing on the descriptions or any possibility even of going down as far as having testimonials on the checkout like I've got in Thrivecart? Because I've done a lot of that in Thrivecart.
So you can absolutely already put testimonials on checkout. If you look at my checkout pages, I have them. You the
Am I misremembering then?
I don't know. Like if you go to my all access checkout, I think I have currently a quote from Gary. And
What was I
then,
thinking then? There
yeah, I've
was
got
a.
several.
I think maybe I'm not, maybe it wasn't the checkout then. There was a product. Product descriptions, I think, were like basically just really
Well,
basic, wasn't
to the other part of your question about the description editing, yeah, that's
they?
the
Right.
editing for the order bumps is
Ah,
still
yeah.
very basic. We're told that that change is coming when they roll out either with or shortly after when they roll out the changes to upsells, because they're going to be creating, I forget what they called, they're creating something that shares the formatting of those, so we'll be able to edit those.
Okay, do you know when the approximate time frame is for that is?
Adam posted in the Facebook group yesterday that he was getting his hands on it, hopefully today, and he's going to send it
Oh,
back
okay.
for bug testing and whatever. He might give me
Okay.
access to it today or tomorrow. And then if I had to guess, I would guess next week. But
All right.
I
Oh,
haven't checked the Facebook
that's
group.
it. That's fine. Yeah, no,
Or
because
I,
I'm getting,
maybe.
I'm doing, well, you might have seen emails from me the last few days. I don't know how you've been tagged, but I've been doing a bit of a push this week, and so I'll have to sit down and look at the stats, but the amount of people that take my bump when I'm just pushing my cheapest product, and it doubles the cart basically, and it's all because it just the way it's pitched, I'm sure, at the checkout, and I just want to, I don't want to switch to Thrive AssureCart rather and just lose that momentum because it's that conversion rate is so high, whereas before when we looked at it was really limited, and I just didn't want to implement it basically, but that sounds encouraging.
Yeah, I think that as long as you have the patience or knowledge to build it yourself, build whatever you want.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Great, thanks.
You can bounce back and forth between LaRosa and you if LaRosa has any questions. If not, you can keep going.
We can keep going. I don't have any questions.
I was wondering, Larossa, when because you do a lot of work with clients, I didn't know if you'd done any sort of e-commerce stores using Thrive Architect. You know,
Not
as in like
with
a shop front. I don't know if
Thrive
you do it
Architect. I
anymore.
moved away from it from Thrive pretty quickly with clients, just because I was running into too many issues with it.
Right. Okay, that's interesting. Too many issues, what, day-to-day building them or conflicts with
Just in the
building
day-to-day building and stuff that I was trying to do, like I was having some bugs and they just couldn't get them fixed. Like I
Oh,
still got
right.
some outstanding bugs that still haven't been fixed, and that was just impacting my productivity.
Interesting. Okay. Have you got any examples, Larossa, of client sites? That have got stores that you might have built in something like Spectra.
Not offhand, because most of like what I've built for my clients, it's they don't have like a storefront. Most of it's them just having like a checkout page for someone signing up for like their 12-week program.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got it. Yeah, no, I understand your client base. Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, no, just be interested. I mean, maybe I'll just have a bit of a
Well,
googling
actually,
around at
no,
the
I
weekend.
do.
Oh.
Because I have one that I built for a friend that does tarot card readings.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Let's see. I don't want to be delayed by trying to learn Spectra at the moment, but it would be very, when I've got a bit of time later in the year, I'd like to start to kind of replicate some of my basic pages with some of the block builder, just to kind of get a bit into it.
Yeah, so this site is built in with Elementor, but I've been meaning to move it over to Spectra here pretty soon. It's going to have like the exact same layout. But basically,
Yeah.
what I did is like I just built a page with like all their products, and so this is like just a page on Elementor with all their stuff. And then, kind of like what Doug was talking about, like I just got buttons here
Right.
that go to ShareCart. Like both of, like click on one of these and just take adds it to your cart.
Okay. Yeah, and that list on the previous page, is that being pulled in dynamically or was that built piece by piece? The
This one's
product.
just all static right now because they
Yeah.
only have a few products.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want when you make it static. The downside is it's static, but you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, thankfully she's someone that doesn't make a lot of changes or add a lot of products, so keeping it static works really well.
Yeah, I've got, and unfortunately, I was trying to think just of more examples, Rob, but I think right now all of my clients that use Surecart, and there are a lot of them now, I probably have over 20, they are all just using single, like I do, like go buy my course, go right to checkout, sales page to checkout. And then the ones that are still using storefronts are still using like Cartflows and WooCommerce, because for them, they have like 100 products and they just have zero desire to make any changes right now. So,
But
understandable.
I know Adam too was talking about like moving the products over to custom post types to where like we can then use like the query builder to create like product pages like that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. My one concern with that, when I saw him make that comment, was that I hope it's optional, because if they move the products into the custom post types, that no longer makes it headless, right? Like that, because all the products are currently headless. They're on every single site you install your Surecart account onto. And I'm just wondering what would happen. Would it create new custom post types on every site? If so, and maybe that's okay, but that seems really like that seems to kind of go the opposite direction of what I was hoping Surecart would evolve into, and where Adam originally said it would evolve into, which is like a standalone tool entirely, like optionally completely independent of WordPress. So I
That's what I wanted to throw
worry.
in the Slack chat for you, Doug.
Yeah, I worry that they cave to the pressures of the WordPress community. And on one hand, don't get me wrong, that would be awesome to use the Loop Query Builder for Spectra on that. Like, that's what I want. I want to use my grid builder. I want that. But on the other hand, I want Surecart to be completely independent from WordPress because, I'm seeing all these new, there's all these platforms coming out and they're all starting to make WordPress look old and clunky. Even though there's all these cool tools like Quickly, Bricks, Spectra, all these tools for WordPress that are phenomenal. The world's moving at a very fast pace now, and it's going to be very hard to justify, and to your point, Larosa, about like it's slowing down my workflow. It 5 years from now, we might be having a hard time justifying tinkering with a WordPress site when we could just be having something amazing that doesn't rely on WordPress at all.
Yeah, it's like that's the one downside to working with open source software.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But then, everyone always pushes back and says, "Well, there's no fees." But then it's like, it's kind of foolish to think that way. Like I was following some Facebook thing where someone's like, "Oh, I'm finally rid of Shopify. I don't have to pay the Shopify fees anymore." But then you look at all the products they had to buy to be free of Shopify's fees, and they're thinking, "I'm the king of my own castle now." No, you're not. You're a slave to 50 other license fees that you have to pay for the tools that you bought your freedom with. It's just like, oh, those glasses are very rose tinted. But yeah, I don't know. The world is run by subscription fees to licenses for everything. It's just what it is
Yes,
now.
for better or worse.
Yeah. Let's see. All right. Rob, did you have more questions then?
One, this is just a quick one because I had a thought after you did some work for me earlier in the week on the Surecart products. I've created bundled products as I've created a product in Surecart, a number of them, one of them or some of them happen to be bundled products. And I was thinking about is that the best way to go for just any reason? Is and this also gets into another question about how is it best to create product bundles in Surecart? And what I mean by that is, on the back end, this is not, as the customer or the prospect sees it on the shop front. Is it okay to build them like I have in the I've got a product which actually comprises of different ones, or should it actually be like a container and it pulls them? I don't, if you understand what I mean. I'm
Totally.
saying this not knowing what I'm what the options are, but I don't know if I just automatically built them the way I built them in Thrivecart, and it was only when I've reflected and thought, oh, that might not be the best way. Am I kind of shoot myself in the foot for like future functionality? I don't know.
No, I think the way that you've done it is going to be your best bet. Because to your other question, can you have separate products, put them both into a form, a custom form, and have the person check out and buy both products at the same time? Yes, however, you can't do that with add to cart. So if I'm browsing your shop and I see product A and product B, clearly there's no let me bundle those together with another button. You could devise a way of saying when product A and product B are both in my cart, apply a coupon. But that's harder for the front end user to understand versus
Yeah, well,
just
that's fine.
product A, product B, products A and B together for this discount. Also, when it comes to product management with operations or like automations, it's easier to run an automation off of a single product that
Oh, of
you've
course,
just behind the scenes combined with than having to say, okay, I've got my automations for A, my automations for B, and if they buy A and B, I've got to run both
Oh,
automations,
crikey,
but I don't want to hit them twice with emails. Like, let's say you built emails for both of those products and they bought both products. What mechanisms do you have in place to stop their inbox from getting hit by two emails simultaneously for product A and B? So you have to think through those automations. And I just always come back to just have a third product that combines both of them. It's better for add to cart. That's just the route that I go. Like,
Cool.
here's an
Okay, that's
example.
good. It's good that I went down that way then.
Yeah, like here's an example. I have my individual Thrive courses, and then I have a Thrive course bundle. That Thrive course bundle is just a Surecart product that sends one webhook to Thrive Automator that unlocks all those courses for the user instead of adding each course to their cart. Just worked out better for me.
But cool. Okay, that's handy. Good to know. There are also any thoughts?
No, it's like these days my brain's kind of bouncing a lot between like what's going on with like Zip WP. Like I was watching a video either last night or this morning, and they were talking about some of the new features that were coming, like the page builder, where like you could build the put out a whole site map and then build each page with like each of the elements you want and then build your entire site. So I'm looking forward to using that with some of my clients.
Yeah, I have a video that I hope to finish editing and then release later today, where I do a full rundown of all the AI features available to us with Spectra and integrating Zip WP with our websites. So nothing that you'll learn in that one, LaRosa, but other people will. But it identified a couple of questions that I had that I then took to Adam, and I was like, hey Adam, just did this whole deep dive video. I spent like 8,000 credits. I did this whole, AI rundown on my site. And I was like, the AI generated, it all worked, generally speaking. There was one big bug where I generated two sites. Like you can choose variations. And I said, okay, I'm selecting variation one and it built variation two. I was like, Adam's like, oh yeah, I've had that bug before. And I'm like, do I get a refund on my credits? But I was like, well, the site that this the design patterns, because when you go into Spectra or you go into the premium starter templates and you say generate me all of these templates relevant to my brand and my AI prompt, it generated some good patterns. But when you go to the pages section and you say generate me a home page, a contact page, a services page, etc. on your site, they were very lackluster. And so I said to Adam, I said, this was like, I think this was 3,000 credits to generate all these pages, which it's very little money, but I was like, they're kind of not great. They're just okay. I said I got a better result when I did all the patterns, which are like in content templates, than when I did pages. And he's like, yeah, we really need to improve that. And in fact, here's what we're doing. And then he went on to explain how they're going to launch a, don't know why they're doing it this way. I wish they would fix the base product, but they're going to launch a premium templates for the AI. So the AI will be, I know, the AI will build, they're going to improve the baseline, but the AI is going to build one set of templates because you've probably seen this, LaRosa. The AI, even though it's like pick a design, the AI didn't create unique designs. It kind of has like 10 or so that it goes through, and then it just populates the images and stuff. So you only need to run through it once or twice to realize it's, is this truly AI or is this really just.
Yeah, it's like I
Automation.
went through like at one point, like I made like 10 sites, got all the templates, and was like, all right, I've got all these, I've got them saved.
Yeah, I don't need to do it again. And I said to Adam, the it's om it's I said, being honest, Adam, if you go into the Premium Starter Templates plugin and you just look at the sites that they've pre-built, like I don't know if you've done that, if you looked at some of the pre-made sites that you can import, those look better than the sites the AI can build. Or, and I said, and In fact, if I just choose one of those and then I go into the pattern builder and I implement the AI that way, it'll just give me better patterns and I'll just drop the better patterns onto those pages and I'll bypass that whole Zip WP page generation thing entirely and get a better result. And that's when he let me know there's going to be better designs coming to it, and then there's going to be premium designs where the AI builds even like just according to him, blowing it out of the water, like amazing looking designs. And I'm like, come on, you got paying customers. Give them the, just b bake that into the base product. Don't charge more for it. And that's kind of where I think, after our long discussion, that's kind of where I think it'll end up going. It'll be like if you're a free Zip WP customer, you'll get baseline. If you're a paying Zip WP customer, you'll get premium. They better not charge on top of it. They better not be like, these are the 2,000 credit templates and these are the 10,000 credit templates. I'll be like, that's really shameful.
Yeah, like especially if you're on like their business plan.
Right, that's what I'm on right now. It's like I have 100,000 credits, and I don't. I will say, like, it is a lot of credits. Like, I don't have, like, there's no way I could spend them. Like, I think even if I did this for 10 clients, I don't think I'd spend all the credits, especially because I did what you did. I just took every template, saved it, and now it's a pattern on my site. And I can just, the nice thing about Spectra is you can literally copy paste between websites. So, like, I just built out an entire page, and I'm like, ooh, I like that. Copy, paste, and I just sent it to another website instantaneously. It's like, well, there goes your credit system entirely.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I actually ended up doing instead of like migrating the site from Zip WP is like, because I have like my standard template that has like all the plugins that I use. So instead of like exporting from Zip WP, it's like I'll just go in, create the template there, copy the page, paste, copy, paste. And I've got all the pages, the copies over the images and everything.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, I don't know. I hope that Zip WP improves a little bit. It's still a great tool, I think. But they're, and I go over this in the video, their integration with the your own website to me feels better than going over to Zip WP itself, using the tool and having to migrate. They actually migrated behind the scenes, and I ran through that in the YouTube video I made, and I showed how in just a couple minutes it migrates the site from Zip WP for you behind the scenes. And from what I could tell, it cleans up after itself entirely, and it worked flawlessly. So, I don't know. It's pretty cool stuff. We'll see, though.
Yeah, it's a great product for like, especially for like what I'm doing with clients,
Yeah.
where I'm like, I'm not trying to spend a whole lot of time designing a website for somebody because I've only got them paying like $300 a month for my service.
You literally can do. It's so weird. Like, on one hand, so many people are like $300 a month, every month, and you're like, come on, man. If you're a business, that's honestly nothing for any type of marketing engagement. A website, any level of service agreement that the users that your provider is going to give you for help. Like, you cannot go hire an employee and pay the minimum wage in any state in the country and have them be able to do that work for you.
Yeah, especially when I'm eating like your Amazon SES costs and all that stuff too.
Oh, you're eating all that. So you're setting them up as are they just like sites you're setting up under your own account, or are you spinning them up their own account and getting it approved?
So I'm just doing it all under my own account right now.
Ooh.
And then if I ever run into issues with it, then I'll probably just spend the extra money and go to Elastic Email.
That's what I had to do with my
Like, even though it's
clients.
still like double the price, it's a whole lot easier to deal with than to and easier to segment clients out.
Yeah, so for a while I did exactly what you're doing. We have about 100 clients in our agency, and we have them all under one AWS account. And nothing happened because we typically are very like, what's the word? We're controlling in the sense that we always tell our clients we are a fully managed solution. If you want to come to us and be in charge of everything on your own, you probably need to work with someone else. We want, if you're going to have us do your email SMTP, if you're going to have us do all this stuff for you, we hold the keys to the kingdom. We do it for you so that you don't have to think about it. Because these are actually brick and mortar businesses. They have tinkering on the internet's not their business. And so we were generally okay. But then I just got paranoid. Like, I have a lot of email going through one AWS account now. And if it gets dinged for anything, all my clients' email goes down. So I started to spin up Elastic email accounts, and I'm like, dang, this is expensive. So then I went to I decided to go to high level, which doesn't have any monthly cost associated for my clients. They're just sub accounts under my one, and it's they get white labeled under Mailgun and they get their own setup. So essentially, it's just like Elastic Email with Mailgun, but they only pay for usage, just like AWS, and it's only moderately more expensive than AWS, and then I eat that cost. So it's interesting. But yeah, AWS, trying to think like,
It's like right now I'm fighting with
yeah.
Twilio with
Oh, it's a losing
the new
battle.
changes to the laws, where it's like you have to have an approved like
A2P 10 DLC kind of thing.
yeah. It's like even for like the toll-free number, it's like you have to get that approved. And like even though I had been approved before and was sending SMSs just fine, like I went through and showed them like the exact same process that I've been doing, and they keep rejecting me. So I can't send any SMS right now.
It's are they saying why? Or are they just giving you the usual like classic violation doesn't work?
They're saying like the workflow that I'm showing them isn't like detailed enough for like how I'm capturing the phone number and getting their authorization to send them SMS messages.
So I've never been declined, but everyone that has been declined, the advice that I give them is, and you've probably done this, but Twilio really wants to see your privacy policy on your website and your terms of service and detailed inside of those, like that they agree to be enrolled in automatic texting. And then they really want to see on that form a checkbox. You've probably done that.
Yeah, I just need to add a checkbox to the form.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that really helps. That made Twilio happy when I did that. Like I've probably done like 30 to 40 of my brick and mortar companies giving texting numbers through Twilio, and I had no problem when I had a checkbox.
So I just need to put a checkbox because like all I'm doing is like all I use SMS for is like for booking calendars and sending the SMS notifications for reminders.
That's all we
That's
do.
all I use it for.
That's all we do, and they don't care. They're just like, although some of my clients I've gone into their accounts and I've looked at their texts and they're using them to like fully communicate with people. And I'm like, oh, it's just inevitable before Twilio picks up one single word that you say. Like I've seen, I had a colleague who had a Twilio account shut down or their texting suspended because they said, shoot, in a text. And it was not in the context of going to shoot. It was, oh shoot.
That could have been so many more worse words.
And then I was on a Facebook group and one guy's like, I have a lawn care business. I can't say weeds. Just get shut down. I was like, oh my gosh, what's coming to this world? So yeah, I hear you. I feel your pain on that Twilio stuff. It's awful. And then you have all like the registration fees and then the monthly fees and like I think I'm paying like $25 right now to register a phone number, and then I think I'm paying that's one time, and then I'm paying like $1.25 a month per number, and then I'm doing like the volume though is just pennies. Like it doesn't even really add up beyond a couple bucks a month. It's kind of like AWS, so. It's cool though. Like that's one of the things I like doing in high level is that they have an interface. I don't know what you use for your texting. Like you said, you're just doing reminders, but in the high level interface, you can literally see all the texts with each contact. One of the things I really like about it.
Yeah, that did look quite. When I had a look at high level, that was quite impressive. All that stuff, actually, I was quite sort of, oh, yes, it's all kind of just out of the box.
It's good for
I
brick
had
and
a.
mortar.
I wanted to have a check in with you, Doug, because I was been doing my homework on Circle, watching lots of YouTube videos, etc., plowing through their site again, and. I wondered if you've got an updated take. I don't know if you've got any, had a chance to revisit it, but on the streaming inside using Circle, because one thing I didn't appreciate, but when I looked into it, was obviously if you do that, well, say obviously if you do that, you end up with the archive within Circle. So And we've chatted about this, my bugbear about with yours, you've got to go out of the platform to go and see the replays. Whereas when it's in circle, the replays are in circle. And I thought, oh, that's quite attractive. But obviously, it's not attractive if the quality is still ropey, if you understand that phrase in America.
Yeah, I contextually I could pick up on the meaning. We don't say that here though.
Well, there's one for you.
Yeah. So I have found, and we kind of talked about this last time, and it was kind of like what La Rosa had mentioned. I think when you're on the call, it's okay, but then the replay is kind of like highly compressed, I feel like.
Ah.
And so you sound a little more like robotic and tinny and lower quality. So my
Yeah.
thoughts are, if you're doing this to have like super high quality replays, probably not the best solution. If you're doing it to have just nice replays that people could go and comfortably watch and be generally okay if they didn't attend live, I think it's fine. And then in terms of storage, like if you go onto the professional plan for your lives, like you get where did it say how much storage you get? Oh, you don't even get lives. Well, yeah, you do. Sorry, you do on the professional plan. You can have, but I wanted to make sure you knew that you can only have 30 people in a live room at a
Oh,
time.
is that a bit on the professional? I thought it was more than that.
So on the professional plan, you can have 30 people in a room at a time, and you get 20 hours of saved videos. So what you would
Oh,
want
okay,
to
that's
do
not
is,
much at all, is it?
no, you'd want to
How
download
did I
them.
not pick that up?
Like here's one hack that I'm starting to figure out. Like it's the same thing with Circle courses. Like if you upload a video into a lesson and have Circle host your video, it counts towards your storage. Which, funny enough, there's zero way in Circle to tell how much storage you've used. I reached out to them and they say, we currently have no way to tell you how much storage you're using until you can reach out to an
We're
admin.
gonna limit you on
Right, so
it.
they said there's no way for you to see how much you've used. We'll let you know when you're approaching your limit, unless you reach out to us and talk to an admin or something. I'm like, I think I told him, well, that's dumb.
That is really poor. You can't sell a product with a limitation and not let the customer know what that limitation is without having to contact support. That's crazy.
Like here,
That is
fair enough
crazy.
though, the storage limit is 100 gigabytes, and prior to them introducing courses, there was almost no chance I was going to approach 100 gigabytes of people uploading GIFs and images of their problems into the community. It's just never going to hit it,
No,
really.
yeah.
But however, course videos, like if I were to upload all of my replays to Circle of these office hours, each one of these replays is between 300 and 600 megabytes. Sure, I could
Yeah.
probably spend the time to run them through Handbrake and I could compress them down and I could probably save a little bit. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But that would very quickly eat up all the storage of my 100 gigabytes. Because I think in Bunny, where I'm currently storing them, it says I'm using like 60 gigabytes of storage so far for these office hours.
Yeah.
So I had the workaround thought. You can take the replay and you can upload it to Loom. Loom gives you unlimited storage of your videos on a paid account. So if you're on a paid Loom account, and then Circle integrates beautifully with Loom for embedded videos and courses. Downside being it's hard to protect a Loom video. I have found that it's kind of hard for them to get the Loom link, because even when you use something like Vimeo and you embed it into the Circle courses, that's what I'm currently using, by the way, for the two masterminds. Those are both Vimeo. It doesn't look like Vimeo, it doesn't really act like Vimeo. It kind of like it takes on Circle's branding in a way, like of the courses. And you can disable the ability for them to download it. But I haven't dug deep enough into the code, which is not going to be an issue for your industry. For my industry, I don't know if there's a bad actor that would go in and want to steal my videos and share them, but that was a workaround. You could upload to Loom at
Right.
no added cost, embed the videos there. Works beautifully, and it doesn't count towards your limit. And then you don't have to go pay
Yeah.
for anything else you might not already be paying for.
Okay, because I did have a wonder. It's exactly what my next question was going to be, a possible workaround. I think I see the problem with my idea of it, but I was thinking about Bunny, but I didn't know how Bunny played with Circle.
Doesn't yet. It really bothers me.
Can that not be
Because
done with Zapier, with APIs through Zapier?
no, because it's just embedding a video. They only embed. So Circle uses, I can't remember what, they participate in some video embedding library tool that's like, we integrate
Right.
500 video sources, and Bunny is not one of them.
Yeah.
It may be in the future. I sure hope it will be in the future. But it's terrible. If as soon as they do integrate with BunnyNet, hallelujah, I'll just start sticking everything from our
Yeah.
office hours right into Circle. I have no
Yeah.
problem with that. It's just right now, I really don't want to upload everything to Loom and then put
And
everything over here.
why and what does it not integrate with Zoom? Surely it integrates with Zoom. Could you not just do it directly? If the point, what I'm saying is not use their internal recording, because that limitation sounds useless, frankly. Recording Zoom and then embed the Zoom ones, is that an option?
Well, Zoom isn't really hosting your videos, right? Like Zoom says, here's your MP4.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Take
Okay.
it wherever
Yeah.
you want to go.
Well, you can host your videos on Zoom. You just have to pay for the storage with them.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah, they already raised the price to like $15.99 or something for my account now. I can't remember what it is. But they just give me the download. I just take that download and I don't even handbrake it. I just put it right up into Bunny, and I'm still paying less than $3 a month to Bunny for just a gazillion videos now. And
So
getting
I
better.
seriously have to consider then thinking about doing what you're doing, Doug, which is, even if I were to use. So, okay, yeah, this is a quick question. Is the problem with streaming in Circle that when the stream is saved, that quality is poor, or when it's rendered back in, it's poor? It's being compressed, because if the recording quality is okay, I can take that out of Circle and I'd use that, because then at least I'm just using the Circle interface to do the recording.
It's as soon as the only download they give you is a compressed version of the live. So you would have to host your, you'd have to, if you wanted to do lives in Circle, you would have to use a tool like OBS and record your screen
Oh, I
as
see.
you're having it, and that just is a technical nightmare. So, like, it's totally doable, but just really for most people, it's a technical nightmare to
Okay,
work with.
so I think then I need to probably replicate your workflow at the moment then, which is I'll up my plan with Zoom, record with Zoom, download, then host the archive on the website in the membership there.
It's the best
Not,
way, yeah.
yeah. And until they can play with Bunny, I mean,
Or
and
do you
we
have
can start
Loom?
up an online petition to get them to sign up with Bunny.
Yeah, do you have Loom, a paid Loom account by chance?
No, I've just got a free Loom
Okay.
account. Yeah, I barely use it. Well, the only time I ever use it really is in your community when I do a quick screen record.
I use
I
it
don't
all
have
the
to use
time.
Loom to do that, but
I use Loom so much.
I need to pay for it.
It's so good. Like, it's gotten so much better too. And you can literally upload 4K videos and pay nothing more. As long as your video is under 4 GB. And under some number of hours, you can just upload no problem right into Loom. And it works beautifully. It doesn't drop the quality at all. And so,
Oh, I
like,
haven't looked at
I've
their
been.
paid plans actually.
Yeah, their paid plan's really cheap. I think it's
Yeah,
like
it's not too bad.
under $10, I think, a month paid annually. I think it was like $8.
Oh, is it? Oh, that is
It
cheap.
was. They might have raised the price, but it's
Yeah.
super. I thought it was super affordable. And then, like, I record so many asynchronous videos with it. For all my clients, like anytime any client in our agency has a question, I'm just like, here's the answer.
That's a
Anytime
good point.
anyone in the community has a
Because
question,
when I'm in the
I'm
community, when I create my community, maybe I will be doing more of these.
it's
It's profitable.
1250 a month.
They upped it to 1250 a month. Is that if you pay annually?
Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad. It's still not bad though, really,
Yeah.
for all the video hosting that you can do on it and then
Hopefully
organize all
that
your
was like
videos.
$20 a month.
No, yeah. This is but I will say, like, it's a good workaround, just one that I'm really at this point in time not willing to do for the huge library of videos that I have on Bunny. Like if I were to start doing that workaround, it would be like an as of today, all new office hours are in the community and I'm uploading them to Loom. I don't know. I'm kind of gonna like hold off and see if they allow a Bunny integration. But it would not have to, it has nothing to do with Circle though. Circle integrates with another service that integrates their API their video codec player with
Right.
500 other video things, and it's that company that needs to integrate with Bunny. And then I don't know if
Right.
it's that company that builds it or Bunny that builds it for that company. And then it would work on Circle.
Hopefully they recognize Bunny soon because it's getting lots of money, isn't it? Is it? And
Oh
it's
yeah.
growing quite well. So,
Yeah, I'm a big fan. So hopefully that gets fixed.
Doug, for you, just you know my setup pretty well, and you know my looming structure. No pun intended, actually. If I do go down the circle rule, would your advice be to basically replicate what you're doing and use Zoom as my recorder, download those, and then host on my site in until hopefully Circle plays with Bunny.
So,
And
are
those, sorry, those
you?
recordings presumably are in Bunny. Is that right?
You can drop those cord record. You can download the recordings from Zoom or Circle. Either way, put them in Bunny and then put them
Bunny.
on your own site, or put them into something like Loom or another service like Vimeo or Wistia or whatever, and then put them inside. Like if you have a Vimeo account, like I do as well, you use that. That's what I'm using for the mastermind videos. It's up to you there, but yeah. So to your question for your workflow. I like this Zoom interface much better than the community one because in Circle it uses your browser a lot more for like the integrations. It works fine. It really does. It's actually very similar to like Google Meet in the sense that the way that Google Meet works, I like Zoom a lot more than Google Meet personally. So I would say for you, if you want that higher quality replay, don't do it in Circle. Do it in Zoom, and then download it from Zoom. Put it in Bunny if you're going to put it on your website, or put it in Loom if you're going to Loom, Vimeo, or one of the other 500 tools to integrate with, and then put it in Circle. There'll be no quality loss. Whatever you get from Zoom, you'll get in Circle.
Okay. But there is no, I think you said it was an option, but I think I don't want to record in Circle using their live
No.
because the compression is immediate,
As
isn't
soon
it?
as you have to
Okay.
download it, the compression's immediate. So
Okay.
I would
Yeah,
say,
fine.
long story short, as of now, don't use Circle at all for anything live.
Yeah.
Do it in Zoom. Take that download, put it wherever you can to get it in your community, or put it on Bunny and put it in your website.
Okay. Yeah, I can live with that. That's fine. I just need to think these things through. Because I watched a video about Circle on YouTube, and the guy recorded it about a month ago. And he was playing around with the recordings, and he said he's seen good and bad experiences. So it still seems like it might be flaky, but
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like 100% flaky, but if it's flaky, it doesn't really matter what percentage it is. You
It can be
know.
wonky. Like I did a couple test recordings and I feel like they didn't really like the live itself didn't start right and it was kind of just wonky and it's just one of those things where like I just want to click join the Zoom meeting and I love the fact that it integrates with my Google Calendar. I'm a Google Calendar user. So literally it just comes up on my screen. Or in the bottom right corner, my Zoom app notifies me, time for office hours, start meeting, and I just click it and I'm in. And it's just one of those workflow things for me at this point. That said, there are a lot of Circle communities that use the live feature and they're having no problems at all. And so I
Mean,
don't
I
want
don't
to say it
know.
doesn't work.
Sounds like the I was really not I really didn't pick up on those limitations on that pro plan because I
So
didn't
yeah, it's on
really
the pricing page. Here, I'll just share my screen real quick to show you.
okay because I had the pricing page up but I couldn't find it but
So right here on the pricing plan, here's the professional plan. They're not going to mention much at all about lives other than you can live stream. But if you come down here to the compare plans, here's the
this
professional
is
plan. You'll see it right here under live streams. You can have 100 live stream attendees, 100 live stream it. So here's the difference. A live stream is where you're streaming to an audience.
Gotcha.
There's no Zoom kind of connection where we're talking to each other. If you want a live room where your participants can talk to you can have 30 of those, 30 hosts, whatever, 20 hours, and then they're only going to have recording storage of 50 hours.
So hang on, what's hours? I don't understand that. What's the hours 20 then?
I
If the
think
storage is separate.
That's a
Hours
limit on
means
how long
what?
you can be live, maybe. Maybe LaRosa
Oh,
has a
right.
limit.
How long you can go.
Yeah.
In a single recording
Yeah.
Yeah.
or stream or whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, fine. Yeah, that's quite limiting actually, isn't it?
I think that for your community, this might be limited. This probably will be okay.
Yeah, that would be okay.
The storage is whatever. Honestly,
Yeah.
like none of these are what bother me, honestly. It's the quality of the replay that I just don't. And
Interesting.
not that Zoom, by the way, is amazing.
No, yeah, but it's better than it used to be.
Better than it used to be, and it's certainly better than every test I've done on Circle.
Okay, well, I'll watch that space, but as you, oh, that was kind of like my next question, actually, Doug, that I just scribbled down a few moments ago was whether it's worth me pulling the trigger on picking up Circle now, or for a couple of reasons. One, I don't know when they last increased the price. I've got an impression it was like in the last 6 months or so, because it's now the, I think, because I would just jump into the year and give it a full test for a year. So I would get like, I think it's $89 a month.
That's
I
what I
think
paid.
in Great British pounds, it works out to 800 and something pounds a year. It's like $1,000 and something, I think it was, wasn't it? My maths is terrible. So I would pick up the, oh, I would pick up the annual deal. So I'd be, yeah. So I'd be out of pocket. Well, not out of pocket, that would be an expense immediately 1 month in. But I thought, well, if I'm not monetizing that, is there any point in jumping soon? Because one of the things I did think, because this is the way my brain works and I like to work anyway, is I like to build stuff and learn as I build. And as I'm refining my model, I'm thinking there would be some benefit to me going in and like literally using it like a sandbox, and just playing around with it and trying things out just for myself to see if it works. Or, two things I question is, what have I forgot? Yeah, my impression is that I can build it pretty quickly as long as I know what my structure is going to be. So am I better off doing more time now upfront thinking about my structure on the assumption, whether it's a very good assumption, that the price isn't going to suddenly go up and I'll just be, dang it, I should have got it when it was like $89. I don't know when it last went up, but my impression is it
Within
went
a
up
year.
like, yeah, within last year. Because I remember seeing like, you go and got to watch a few YouTube videos to see it was like $79 a month or something like that.
It used to be that it within the
And
last
it was they,
year,
and that's the version that had the API in it, which is a bit annoying.
it is. Yeah, that's what I had paid for. I did, however, up choose to upgrade because that grandfathered plan did not include courses though. So the
Right.
grandfather
Yeah.
plan that I got on was $79 a month, no courses. Even though it was the
Okay. So
professional plan, it was a cheaper
sort of in
version.
roundabout.
I asked them, can I upgrade and get courses and keep all of my grandfathered things? They said
Yeah.
yes. So I'm paying the $89 a month.
Ah.
I'm paying the new price, but I'm getting all the old stuff just because I wanted the courses feature because I knew I was going to eventually use it. And
Oh, that's lucky.
I wanted to lock in that 89 because
Yeah.
I know without a doubt that price is going to go up. You just
Yeah, well,
know
this is
that.
what I'm, this is what my sense is. It's gonna, I'm so, I mean, my gut feeling is they're gonna bump it up
To
at least once
99.
this year.
It's going to be 99 probably within the next year. That's going to be my guess.
Yeah.
And I don't know when they're going to do it. I don't know when their fiscal year is or what they're probably planning. But just based
Yeah.
on how like inflation's working right now and how everyone is raising prices on
Yeah.
everything unjustifiably with no remorse or shame, I have a feeling it's going to go up. But to your other question though about like tinkering, learning it before you have a grand plan, what I know from you, I think you would get a ton of value of actually just going hands-on with your community and getting a feel for what you can build with it. And I think that might give you, because it's one thing to watch my community, because I do it a certain way. It's one thing to watch Michelle's community. She does it a certain
Yeah.
way. We all do it a different way. It's another to get in there and be like, oh, I had all these preconceived ideas of how I could meld them all together and it's not possible, or look what I discovered. I think
Yeah,
you'd benefit from being able to go in.
maybe, the discovery thing is perhaps something that would really help me in just kind of finalizing the model slightly. I mean, I didn't want to, the way my brain works and the way I like to work is I'm a bit ADHD, so I flip between things. But I know that if I was to go in there, I could spend hours and hours in there playing around with it, not in a kind of trivial sense, but really in a kind of find it and discovery and exploration and limit testing kind of sense. And I think actually doing that myself physically would really help, finalize my model or go some way towards helping finalize that. And if it's, $89 a month, that's just a business cost I'm learning and, might be worth me jumping.
So you could, yeah, I do the pay annually myself, and you could just use it as a rule for yourself and say, okay, if I get this yearly expenditure, I'm going to give myself 6 months to play with it, but I want to have it launched by that second 6 months
It's
because
got
I
to be
want to make.
monetized within a certain time frame. I know that that would be a good impetus because I hate wasting money as well. So,
Yeah, and then you just have to live with the fact that you're not wait even I do have to say, like, even if you never launched it this year, but you were, but for sure got it built within the year, you would just have to gauge if that was a waste of money or not. But I would say, knowing you, knowing your abilities, you're fairly tech savvy, you don't need more than 6 months to get this monetizable. You really don't. In fact, you don't need it even that long. But I feel like
No.
if you were comfortable giving yourself 6 months, and that includes building up the content for the program, I would say you'd be in good shape. Then you can just
Okay, no,
justify the
because the
write-off.
funny thing was when we were chatting, that it was a really great masterclass this week, by the way. It was fantastic, wasn't it? Was thinking about the future ones, and I saw the you confirmed the dates and I put them in the calendar, and I'm thinking, oh, that's actually quite a long way off. I want to be further forward within a short, but I know like this, we've all got things to do day to day, so it's probably a tad optimistic of me. But when I created my, I don't know if you remember, but when I created my mind map, I actually put a time frame on it, which was, like 1 month for the scoping stage, which I'm in now, the preparation stage, and that is pretty much done. Then 2 months to get ready for the launch. So I'm thinking I could launch in 3 months. That's kind of
Yeah.
my ambition. And
That's
that
my
might
goal.
be a soft launch. I might take it to, some hardcore members. I might do, I don't know if it's like a, I'm not going to give them free forever, but I might say, come in and try it out. This is, I'm building it, build it with me, your kind of founders or whatever. We can dress it up different ways, but I'm thinking I might soft launch with a subset of the community and just give them, sort of say, like, get free for 6 months or something. I don't know, so they can really kind of get under the hood a bit. And
Yeah, I'm
we could learn
gonna.
together then
Yeah, I'm
before
gonna.
I take it to a bigger audience towards the end of the year, maybe
Yeah.
Q3 or.
I'm gonna do something similar. Like, I'm giving myself 3 months to get my first accelerator kind of put together, and
Oh, okay.
maybe I'm gonna do like a soft launch one where I'm not gonna talk about it anywhere except within our community. And I'm gonna get the community to like vote on a topic. I'm thinking it'll either be Spectra and migrating to Astra and launching your business with that, or I'll do one like getting your whole funnel set up with like Surecart, and inside of that would be Circle, Thrive Apprentice, and a bunch of other tools that would commonly be used with it. That way someone could just be like, oh great, I'm done. I took this accelerator, it was 3 weeks long, and I'm done. Or one or two other topics, let people in the community vote on it, soft launch it to the community, and then if that first one goes well, I work out the kinks, then I'll say, we've got our first accelerator under our belt, we're launching the next one. It starts in August. Because my goal is to have two this year, and I'm already in month two.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, cool. One
So.
other thing that I did do, and that's what's great about having an existing community, albeit in a private Facebook group. As soon as I started doing that, applying that Rob Fitz model, and then I did that other thing where there was that you actually kind of really nail down what are the kind of questions you're asking them and all this kind of stuff. What I did was I've started, and this was doing this over the last 2 weeks. Every few days, I've been going into my Facebook private Facebook group and just say, quick, I do this from time to time anyway, because I do this as like understanding my audience for product building and stuff. I just do a thing called question time. It's just purely a bit of text, and but I do tag everybody in the community so they all get an alert, on Facebook. And it is just like, how do you budget? Do you not budget? What tools do you use? Do you use any online resources, spreadsheets? How do you approach this? So I'm actually asking questions about all the stages that are in my map. So I'm getting already the I'm already priming them for a big solution, and they're
Nice.
all sharing, and they're sharing some really great stuff, and it's really good and it's really rich information, and it's like from my, not even from my avatar. This is from existing clients telling me how they're going about it. So I'm going to build the thing. I've got the framework, but I've got the detail. Remember those spurs off of my major milestones? Those spurs are all going to be informed by the answers I'm getting from the group. And they had no idea that I'm using that information. And I've been doing this up in the last 18 months in all those Facebook groups that I'm a part of as well. The Japanese ones, there's like, I mean, over 50 of them. And occasionally I drop in questions in there. I haven't done it in great detail, but all of those learnings I'm harvesting because I'm then going to put it into my model so that when they come and see it, they're going to say, wow, this guy really knows this stuff inside out. And so, the value delivery there, the perception is going to be really high. So, from the public perspective, if you can demonstrate that level of knowledge and understanding of the detail of their challenges, I think that really helps you bump the price up.
That's awesome. You could even like create content like short form videos where you say like, I polled 400 people about how they budget for a trip to Japan. Here's what I found. And then just go through their answers. And that could be like a 3-minute video. And you could put that on YouTube as like a short or like a whatever. And then funnel, that's a funnel then where like, oh, how did this guy get access to 400 people? Or how did this guy, oh, and in the video, you just simply mention, these tips and more inside the Japan Travel Club.
And the whole masterclass thing has really inspired and spurred me to really make. I mean, this week has just been insanely busy. I've been working late, but I'm loving it. But I'm absolutely knackered. But it's been working really well. And earlier today, I got my first top of funnel video out that we were talking about. I went to one of my travel planning calls to one of my clients, and I found a really nice little clip in that I self-contained, which was about driving in Japan, and it's specifically in the Southern Islands. And so I went to the client and said, oh, I prepared it all, stuck it up on an unlisted video and said, here's the clip. You're anonymized, but and you don't actually speak in it. It's just me answering your question, but it's a split screen recording from a Zoom call. And I said, you're happy for me to use it? And she said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. And so that's my first, and it's like a minute and 17 seconds or something, but it's the first one of my, concrete steps towards that funnel building based on your model, Doug, which is, answer the specific questions in a very kind of, very simple way. And it's a 780, a 720 or seven, that 780p. So it's not great quality, but it doesn't matter. It's the content. It's important. And that's going in. And it just, and at the, there's a card at the end of the video that says, just go to the website for more information or follow the clip, the links in the description below. In the description itself, then I also link to the travel planning calls because I'm really thinking, I don't know if I want to stick those out there in the general public because I might be inundated, but let's see. It might not be nothing, but we'll see how that goes. But so I've actually taken all that's my first big tangible step on that part of the model as well. So I'm really
That's awesome.
satisfied that that's out there.
That's awesome. So
So
cool.
yeah, good.
I'm excited that stuff's coming from that. I agree. Like the mastermind calls, like it's just good to think about all the angles and get your brain moving. So I'm glad we've got them
Yeah, it's
scheduled
really,
regularly.
and those kind of cross, industry kind of observations and suggestions and experiences are really valuable. I think that's where, you having the community and the whole facilitator bit is, it's really great because it's great content that we're producing just through all of us chatting, and you've got that product at the end of it as well. So that's a great win.
And I'm trying to come up with a way to like utilize those beyond just, oh, here's the replay, which is why I'm trying to give them titles. And now that they have topics, I might eventually create like micro workshops where it's like, here's, it's interesting because it's just, they're just conversations and sometimes they go different directions, but I still want to be able to collate it all and say, here is on productizing your membership and community. Here's 3 hours of discussions across multiple industries. I'm
Yeah,
sure
I
people
think,
would find it interesting.
yeah, because I think I mentioned to you before, Doug, last year, I went on a course about email marketing, and a lot of the homework was to watch replays of stuff. And those replays were things where he was basically recording himself in a room with a whiteboard. Obviously, there was a bunch of clients in the room, but he was doing that. But it was all pertinent. Did I care that it was like, just a camera at the back of a room with, okay, a roaming mic for the Q&A bit? No, it was all totally relevant, but it was just something that he'd just completely repurposed, but it was totally congruent with the subject we were all learning anyway. So I just thought, fine, this is just like and of course he just listed them as bonuses, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is a bonus. And they were just the raw video, so like they were 3 hours. So I'd have my laptop over there, like so I was working during the day and having it on. And then when it was really interesting stuff, I'd pause and then replay it and so on. So you doing exactly the same. It's just as long as it's congruent with what the main thing is, I think that's absolutely fine. And I immediately sort of looked when you did the first upload of the first masterclass, and you did it in the course structure. And I thought you said about using courses, and I thought, hey, great, he's actually doing the thing that he said you do. You're great at taking action like that. So I don't know, a
Trying
little
to.
wild that you've gone ahead and just stuck it in a course. And I thought, great, yeah, he's creating more course content now.
Yep. So I'm trying to do, and what I'm doing next, it's on my list, hopefully next week. I'm going to go through my Loom library of my hundreds of videos that I've made answering individual people's little questions, like how do I make my post list work in Thrive Architect, blah, blah. And I'm making sure I give them descriptive titles, and then I'm going to put those into Circle. Because they're Loom, they don't take
Right.
any storage space.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start creating more courses in Circle where it's just like random Thrivecart questions, or I'm going to find a
Yeah.
way to like title it, but then they'll be broken out by tool. If you're looking for questions, commonly asked questions about Thrivecart, commonly asked
Yeah.
questions about this, and it'll just be just all the questions. And so someone can do a search like post list. Boom, there's two lessons on it. Okay, let me watch those and see if it answers my question. That might
Yeah.
be helpful.
Yeah. Well,
And if not, they can
this is why
ask.
I'm going back to my travel planning call recordings, because I've got lots of them and there's loads of nuggets in those, and they really are FAQs, but they're quite specific. And actually, I was watching some interesting stuff on marketing on YouTube, and the whole change in its generative search thing, that's going to be, and that's going to really start, it looks like it's going to really start to reward long tail stuff is going to surface more under that model. Really drilling into real case studies that you can draw on that are very long tail driven is actually going to be a reason why you're more likely to get, you're not even going to appear in search results anymore. It's going to be in snippets and carousels at the top. But yeah, that's all coming down the pipeline. So I am trying to future proof some of this stuff, because I've definitely seen my Google rankings slip in the last 2 months. Definitely.
Mine have changed a little bit. That's because I haven't really published a lot. And I'm starting to think like I've been using ChatGPT. I've been saying, here's my transcript from my video dictated by Mac Whisper. And I say, can I take this transcription and break it into sections, add headings, subheadings, and bullet points, but don't change any of my words. And
Yeah.
so what it does is it creates a beautiful transcript of my video, and I'm just putting that raw into a blog post, and I'm wondering how well that will do. Because
Yeah.
it has the headings that are relevant for Google searches, and they're pretty good, and
Yeah.
I'm editing them where necessary, but something that just destroys my workflow is knowing that I'm going to go record a 20 to 30 minute tutorial and then have to write a blog post all about it and
Yeah.
find images. And then, honestly, how many people are using blog posts for tutorials anymore? Almost everybody's going to watch the video, pause it and
Yeah.
do, pause it and do. And I'm putting the transcript up there for Google. I'm going to do a test. I'm going to have that be my content for the next couple, for the whole next quarter, and see how that does in Google compared to just typing out my own fresh article every stinking video, which I just don't have time to do.
It's like I kind of wonder, because if Google's doing well, because if YouTube's doing a transcript anyway, if it's like digging you because it's the exact same content.
I'm wondering, because that you're right, because the AI can AI the it knows what words are being said, and it knows what the content is, which is why you can do a Google search and have a video come up. I had that same thought, Larissa. So I'm thinking this might be an interesting test over the next quarter. Like, can these if these can rank number one, cool. Sounds good to me. I'm in such a niche anyway. Like, we'll see. I'll publish like 10 of them, and if they get no traction at all, I'll be like, okay, back to plan B.
It's one of those things too. It's like for the kind of content that you're creating, it's like it doesn't really matter if they consume it on YouTube or your website. They're still gonna funnel themselves to your website anyway.
That's exactly right. And I'm really like, my website does not get a ton of traffic, but it's still over 2,000 a month. And it's like, where are those people coming from? Because I'm not getting that many views on my videos, so they're finding me in Google. And I do know they're from Google because I have analytics, but I don't know. Like, they're landing on my site, but then watching my YouTube video. So it's kind of a moot point. Like, I don't, but I got to get them to land on my site. So I don't know. It's all worth It'll be an interesting experiment. Maybe I'll kind of post about the success of it or failure in like a workshop or something.
Interesting. Definitely worth keeping an eye on. There's, the whole Google shift towards that generative results is going to be massive. It's going to be absolutely massive. But I think long tail will be rewarded. So I
I
need
do
to now
too.
start focusing on my original intention, which was all the really off the beaten track stuff this year.
Yeah, it's like some of that too, like with Google and the stuff that they're doing with search. Like, I kind of wonder how long it's actually got, how far it'll actually go before there are like lawsuits in them, like lawsuits for like basically just stealing people's content.
And the AI answering the question by putting your content at the top of the search
Yeah,
result. Yeah.
it's directly scraping, and I would think the lawsuits would be imminent. And the other thing is, I think, I don't know how it works in the States, but here in the UK and in Europe in particular as well, the kind of, they call it mergers and competition. When the companies merge and they start to dominate a market, I mean they're really abusing their position now of search dominance for actually just, going to be like content producers, but they're not producing any of the content. They're scraping it all.
They've been
It's just
fined,
really,
like the EU's regulations. Interestingly enough, like they're US-based companies, but they do so much business in the EU. The EU has already fined Google so much money for like antitrust, anti-competition, whatever they
That's
call it.
antitrust.
They've been sued so many times, and they just pay the fees. And okay, yeah, we'll change. Apple gets sued all the time because their app store is non-competitive. That's a big one in the news. But yeah, I agree. And the funny thing is, it's probably going to take the EU and Europe forcing these big tech. That's the only reason why we've got USB-C on the iPhone. It's because the EU said they had to.
But I think with lawmakers, they won't understand it until the generative search is implemented, because as soon as it's really out there publicly, then it'll be on the news. Then the politicians will wake up. They'll get hassle from their constituents and the companies that are paying them anyway, and
Yeah,
so
it's like
they'll
there was
say, "We've got to sort this out."
like there was a bill passed here just recently because there were robocalls going out using President Biden's voice, and so they were like, "Yeah, you can't use AI generated voices for robocalls anymore."
Yeah, it's illegal. Yeah,
Wow.
they could just make every
Strange world.
robocall illegal.
Yes.
All right, guys, I gotta head out. This is a good call. I'll get the upload. Put up on the website, and then yeah, I'll see you next
Nuggets
week.
in there today. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, take
Have a good
care.
weekend.
You too.
See you soon.